Okay, so this shir, if you got the email, it's about the halachas of shinoi makim, literally the changing your place. How changing your place affects brachas. So this is not such a well understood or even well known halacha in general, and it does tend to come up a lot because invariably, you know, it's always right when you're sitting down to eat that you have to run out, you know, because someone came. Some came with groceries, or you know, to run out to help, or whatever it is. So you have to, you know, you end up leaving the house, or a kid runs outside, and you have to run after the kid, and there's the backyard, and there's the front yard, and the front porch, or back porch, hallways in apartment buildings, and all these things need to be clarified. When do you have to make a new bracha? When don't you have to make a new bracha? Likewise, when you're walking in a park, you know, when you're traveling, what consists of a shinui makom, getting in the car, getting out of the car, taking your coffee with you, what's the rules? So one thing I have to say though before I start is that in particularly to these halachas, there's a very big difference between Sephardim and Ashkenazim. So I'm not going to say here. I'm going to just say the halacha according to the Ashkenazim. I'm not going to say both Sephardim and Ashkenazim because it's going to be way too confusing. It'll be, you know, that'll just confuse the whole issue. Any Sephardim that want to know can speak to me afterwards, and I will just clarify what the differences are. There's a few differences, but first you understand it this way, and then you'll see what the difference is according to the Sephardim, so you'll be able to get it much more clear. Also, the halachas of Shinui Makom in general, if you try to absorb it all at once, it can be very confusing and hard to remember, but the key, which I'm going to try to work out over here, is to remember just what the concept is. If you remember the concepts, then it's easy to remember when it makes a difference, because everything basically revolves around two ideas that we're going to explain. Okay. So, the first question is, what is the issue with changing your place? Why is there a problem, b'chlal? What's the difference if you change your place or not? So, the reason is as follows. There's a concept of hesach hadas. Hesach hadas means changing your mind, or more literally, stopping to think about something. So, when you make a bracha, and you're eating any particular food, and this even applies to bread, this applies to any food, at any point that you make a hesach hadas, which is you stop, you decide you're finished eating, and you just forget about eating, you know, you do something else and you're done with the eating, so then your meal is effectively over. Once your meal is over, the bracha is over. And you really, what you need to do at that point was to make a bracha achreina, to bench. And then if you change your mind and you decide to continue eating, you're making a new meal, you're starting a new meal, and then your bracha, you need to make a new bracha. So a bracha is only valid for the duration of a meal. And a meal is effectively ended, regardless of whether it's bread, washing, shahakal, mezainos, shivas aminim, whatever it is, doesn't make any difference. Whenever you have a proper hesach hadas, a proper, you know, decision to stop eating, then that at that point is when your bracha becomes null and void, and you need a bench, and you need to make a new bracha. So that's the concept of hesach hadas. Now, a shinui makom, changing your place, is an interesting form of hesach hadas, because what's interesting about it is that this is one of the places where halacha tells us that this constitutes a hesach hadas regardless of what you're thinking. In other words, leaving your house, let's say the prime example of a shinui makom would be leaving your house and going into the street, right? That's a full-blown shinui makom. You went out of your house and into the street. So that by doing that, you ended your suda, you ended your meal. And by ending your meal, you effectively terminated your bracha. So a shinui makom always equals a hesach hadas. It's equivalent to the hesach hadas. It has the same effect on your suda and your meal as a hesach hadas does, and that's why it ends your bracha. And it's an interesting thing, actually. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu, one of the things he taught Klal Yisrael, other than the Torah, is he taught them how to have meals at specific times during the day. It says they used to eat all day, with no at any, you know, a little bit all throughout the day. They didn't have a zman suda, like, and it was like barbarians. And Moshe Rabbeinu was misakin for them a time, the kriya suda, the concept of having a kriya suda. And I guess all the other nations must have learned from us at that point. Apparently no one had it before that. So the concept of that type of derech eretz, to sit down to a meal and to eat with a kvius, is a Torah concept. Even though it's not said in the Torah, but it's something Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. So in any case, the Chazal determined that leaving your place signifies you finished your meal. You know, you don't eat walking around all over the place. So if you leave your place, and being that that's the case, being that it's a definitive change of your mind, so it doesn't make a difference, like I say, what you have in mind. It doesn't make a difference if you have the food in your hand. It doesn't make a difference if you leave, go out into the street just for a minute and come right back. As soon as you leave your place, it's an automatic hesach hadas, it's an automatic shinui makom, and it's you've lost your first bracha. What's interesting about this, though, is that this is fine. In other words, you can do this lachatchila, which means, let's say you are drinking a cup of water. You made a cup of soda, right? So you made a shahakal, you drank some of it, and then you went outside, or you want to go outside. You have a need to go outside. So we don't say, okay, don't go outside, because you're going to cause yourself to have to make a new bracha. And that's a bracha shein tzricha. It's an unnecessary bracha. That's not true. That's not the case. You can go outside if you need to go outside, and then you can come back inside and make a new bracha, and it's not considered a bracha shein tzricha. A bracha shein tzricha is only when you make a bracha which was not necessary for you to make, right? You made a bracha on an ikur, for example, right, on the primary food, and then you really, the second food was pater anyway, and you make a bracha that's unnecessary. But here it is necessary. Once you've left your house, you've terminated your suda, and you're starting a new suda. That's fine, and you can do that l'chadchilo. So that wouldn't be a problem of bracha and tzricha. In fact, the Paiskim say that when you have a suffik bracha, sometimes that's a good thing to do. To go outside, so this way you know you've terminated your bracha, so this way you can make a bracha and you'll get out of the problem of suffik bracha. So sometimes that's, if it's an option, that's a good idea. Okay, so again, the point over here is that the concept of shini makim is that you've ended your meal. And the reason why this is important to understand is because there are certain things that we will see that just by leaving your place, it doesn't constitute an end of a meal. For example, we'll learn later that bread, when you wash on bread or when you eat mezainos, it has a different halacha. And the reason why it has a different halacha is because since you're obligated to come back and bench, the bracha achrayna of benching and the bracha achrayna of alamichya requires you to bench it in the place where you ate, versus bayin nefashos, that you can make, you don't have to do it in the same place. You can drink water here and then go outside on the street and make the bayin nefashos. There's no requirement to make the bayin nefashos where you ate. Whereas benching on bread or alamichya, you're required to make in the place where you ate. So therefore we say you haven't finished eating yet, because you have to still come back. It doesn't constitute a real end to your meal as long as you are still required to come back. And that's why we'll see that bread and mezainos and possibly shivas haminim, all the dates, wine, all the things that require alamichya or alagefen or alaperos have a different halacha, which we'll get to. But that's the concept. The concept is because whenever you're required to come back, so then the halacha changes. Then it's not necessarily a cut-off. You haven't finished your meals specifically. Okay, so this is the base idea of shini makom. Now, we'll discuss what sort of change requires a new bracha, which places you walk around will require a new bracha, and then we'll discuss what foods make a difference. So, like I said, number one over here is the most simple and clear case of shini makom that everybody agrees is shini makom. So if you go out of your house and you go into the street, likewise if you go from your house to someone else's house, that's 100% shini makom. That everybody agrees is shini makom. That's a clear shini makom. So much so that this form of shini makom being such a powerful shini makom, like I said, it certainly doesn't help that you had in mind, that doesn't help, that doesn't change anything. The fact that you ate and you planned on going to the other place, that doesn't change anything. In this particular case, this is such a strong shini makom that even if, we'll talk about this a little later, but even if you're able to still see the place where you ate, like for example, let's say your kitchen is right in front of your front door, right? Or your hallway is where you started eating and your front door is right there. You open the front door, go outside to the street to pick up your kid from the bus, and you can still see the hallway where you made your bracha. It doesn't help when you go out into the street or if you go from one house to another house. The fact that you can still see your place doesn't help. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. There's some disagreement about that, but for all intents and purposes, that's the way we do. So that now, see, the fact that once you did a real, the most powerful form of Shini Makam, which is going out into the street or to another house, it doesn't help the fact that you can still see your original place. being able to see your original place helps for certain things. We'll talk about that later, but not for this. Now, so there, like I said, you know, that you can do it if your kid, you know, the bus comes and you have to go out, and you certainly go and do it. But then when you come back, you have to make a new bracha. You don't have to make a bracha achroina on what you've drank so far, right? So even if you drank a whole cup of soda, you don't have to quickly make a bracha achroina and then go out, because that would be a bracha shein tzricha, interestingly. In other words, you have a cup of soda. If you were to make a bracha achroina, that's unnecessary. Why? Because you know you're going out, and then you're coming back, and you're planning on drinking more. So then you'll be making two bracha achroinas, and that there's no reason, you don't need to make two bracha achroinas, right? The shini makam requires a new first bracha, but there's no reason for you to make two bracha achroinas. So it's not necessarily the right thing. If you're planning on coming back right away, it's not the right thing to make a bracha achroinas. If you're planning on coming back right away, like this example I'm giving, like you're just going to help someone in the street, or you're going to, you know, pick up your kid that fell down and he's crying, something like that, don't make a bracha achroina. Go out, help him, come back, and make a new bracha rishayna, and so on. If it's something, you're going to do something outside, and it's going to take time, you know, like, you know, you're going out to the park, and you're going to push your kids on the swing, and you're going to spend time there, so then you should make a bracha chayna, because then, once it's already, an extended amount of time, then we're worried you might forget. You might forget to make a bracha chayna, and then the right thing is to make a bracha chayna. But if you're just going out for a minute, so then that would be unnecessary to make a bracha chayna. Now, what's not so clear, but there is a clear minig, but halachically it's not so clear, is what's the status of going from one room in the house to another room in the house? So it would seem in halacha that one room in a house to another room in the house really is also considered a shinin makan, and you're not supposed to do it lechatchila. But the difference is, though, that it's one thing is clear, that going from one room in the house to another room in the house, it certainly helps the fact that you could see the original place. And it also, this is one case where having in mind does help. And from one room in the same house to another room in the same house. The prevalent minig is, though, that people aren't makbid on this. Everybody, you know, probably never heard of this in your life, right? To make a bracha in your kitchen and then you shouldn't be able to walk to the other room in your house. There's no one ever heard of it. You start learning halacha and you say, wow, I never heard of this. Why did I never hear this? Because the minhag is not to be makbid on this. The reason why we're not makbid on it is because we just do it, since we do it all the time, it's sort of a given that you're going to go from one room to another room, and you always have that in mind whenever you make a bracha. You don't need to tie yourself down. You know, it's bad enough, the melchigs and fleshigs, you know, or washing, we don't want to tie ourselves down to benching. Imagine you have to tie yourself down to the room, you know. It would probably help with dieting. you probably eat less. Yeah. So in any case, so it's considered to be a normal, das that you're planning on going from room to room. So that's why we're not makbid at all with room to room. So room to room includes any room in the house. It includes upstairs and downstairs. The question arises as follows: how far can we go in this concept of room to room? There are two possibilities. One possibility is, let's say, over here in an apartment building. You go out of your apartment into the hall or into your neighbor's apartment. So we're under one roof, but it's two separate houses, right? This is owned by one person, this is owned by another person, and the hall is like a common ground, right? So is that considered two rooms in the same house, or is that considered two houses? Another question is the opposite way around. Let's say you go into your backyard, so you own it, but there's no roof over it. So it can be surrounded by a fence, but there's no roof. So is that considered two rooms in the same house? So in other words, what's the important point over here? Is it the roof, or is it the ownership, or both? So, practically speaking, as follows. Certainly, if you're under one roof, we always consider it room to room. And that doesn't require a new bracha. So if that means if you go from here into the hallway, into your neighbor's apartment, all those will all be considered cheder lecheder, is called room to room, and that does not require a new bracha, and you can do it lechatchila, like the way we're naig. I imagine in an apartment building it's pretty normal also to go into the hallway and go into you know, into the neighbor's apartment. It's been a long time since we lived in an apartment building. That's true. Anyway, but that was, it was pretty common practice, you know, especially when there's a lot of eating around. So that will be considered the normal das. So that would be fine. Let's say over here, right? You walk on onto your porch, right? So your porch is not covered by a roof, but it's fully gated in, and it's really the only access. So a porch like this, a back porch, especially from like a second story, also is certainly considered cheder l'cheder, and that's not a problem. You can walk out back and forth l'chadchila. Likewise, a backyard, which is fully gated and fully enclosed, is also considered a chemi cheder l'cheder. However, a front yard, which is not gated in, like a typical front yard, that would be considered like leaving a house. As soon as you step out of the door, unless you know you have a front porch, but as soon as you step out of the door into your yard, you've already left your house. And you have to make a new bracha, even if you took one step out. Now, a front porch is a good question, because a front porch, it sort of depends on whether the front porch is like a literal porch, which means it's, you know, raised above the ground, it's surrounded by some sort of a fence. So then it's like any porch, then it's like a second-story porch, and it's a room in your house. Likewise, you know, if you have a backyard and you have a sukkah, right, and the sukkah is connected to your house, so the sukkah is considered another room in your house, even though it's temporary, it's still considered a room in your house, also considered mecheder l'cheder. A front porch where there's nothing special there, it's like flat, you walk out of your front door and you're not really surrounded by a fence, it's not fenced in, then that's like your front yard and you would be required to make a new bracha, yeah.
For the backyard, you're literally meaning it has to be fenced, not just because it's the backyard. It has to be fenced literally.
Yeah. Okay. And the halacha will always be that it'll depend on being fenced in, right? So if you, it's interesting cases though. If you shear a backyard, let's say with three or four people, and it's totally fenced in, probably that would still be considered a room of your house, you know. But if it's just open, you know, so then it's not properly fenced in, which means there's big openings in the fence, it's not really considered fenced in, halachically, like you can't carry there on Shabbos, in other words, then that would be a shini makom. That would be like you left your house and you would have to make a new bracha. So what we're saying is, in effect, is that both things work to your advantage. If you're under one roof, that works to your advantage, even though you don't own the other place, even though you're walking into someone else's apartment, you're walking into the hallway, as long as you're under one roof, you're okay. If you're in an area that's fenced in that belongs to you, like your porch, a back porch or a backyard which is fenced in, that also works to your advantage, even though it doesn't have a roof, but it's fenced in and it belongs to you. And like I'm saying, probably if it belongs to you and some other people, it would be the same thing. But if you walk into an area that's not under your roof and doesn't belong to you, then that's a shini makom, or if it's not fenced in, any of those cases, or if you walk onto your front porch where it's not fenced in, or you walk onto your front yard where it's not fenced in, all those cases, there's no roof and it's not fenced, that would be a shini makom, even for a second, even for a minute, even if you had a mind, all those things, you would have to make a new bracha. So these are all the halachas of cheder l'cheder and lebayis lebayis. In other words, room to room is not a shini makom. House to house or house to street is a shini makom. Now we'll discuss the interesting case is when you started your bracha in a place that was neither a house nor a room. For example, if you made a bracha in a car, right? You're drinking coffee in your car, and then you went out of the car and into your house. So it all depends on where you made your bracha. In other words, if you make, let's say, before we start with a car, let's say you make a bracha in the street, right? And then you go into your house and out. Going into your house doesn't negate your bracha. It depends on where you made your bracha, right? In other words, if your bracha was in a house, so your suda, so to speak, was in the house, so leaving the house ended it. If your bracha was outside of the house, so then your bracha was not in a house, your suda was not in a house. Going into a house doesn't make it worse. Right, it doesn't change anything. Going into a house doesn't change your bracha. It's only You know, when the concept is like this. Your bracha gets rooted on wherever it was made. If it was made in a house, then you can't schlep it out of the house. If it was made in the open air, then the house doesn't change anything. That's all. There's no. It's not limited to a place. Then it was not made in an area that limits it at all. So then you can go in and out. It won't change anything, right? So a car also is not considered like a house. A car is not considered a room. So if you make a bracha in a car, it's just the same as if you made it on the street. You can go in the car. You can go out of the car. You can go from your car into your house and back. All those cases won't qualify as a shinui makom.
You go in the house and stay in the house?
Yeah. It's all the same. Yeah, even if you plan on staying in the house, yeah. As long as the original bracha was not made in a makam like a house or a room, you won't be limited. So the real ideal over here is that you're something called a halchei drachim. You're traveling. And a traveler, by definition, doesn't have a special place where he sits and he eats. A traveler's on the road. He's going to start here, he's going to go there. So that's why it's not you don't qualify as you made a place for your bracha. Your bracha, by definition, was made in the wide open world, and every place is good. So your house is equivalent to outside, inside, in the car, out of the car. It's all the same, and that doesn't require a new bracha. Now, if you're in a park, it gets interesting. Now, you see over here, I have three possibilities of a park. So one possibility of a park is where a park that's surrounded by a fence. So is a park could actually be quite large and be surrounded by a fence. I think we were there just once, but that botanical garden that's on whatever that street is, it seems to be mostly surrounded by a fence. Not sure if it actually goes around the whole place, but it does. Totally gated. Okay, so a place like that's totally gated in is like considered like one big makam. You know, it's a tremendous park, you know, with a bunch of trees, and you can't see from one end to another. But if a park that's gated in, and you make a bracha in that park, the whole park becomes like your house. That's if it's gated in. Now, a park that's not gated in, so then it depends as follows. If you sat down by a picnic table, which means that in this park itself, you found a place where you're being kaveh makom, you found a place where you're setting up a shop to have your meal, right? So you sat down by a picnic table and you spread out and you had a soda and other foods that you ate. So then the picnic table is your place. And being that there is no fence and no room and no other designation, so you're actually quite limited. You can't go Dalai Lama's. You can't go out of that circle of the basically a couple of feet around the picnic table. You've already considered like you changed your place. Now, of course, this is only if you you've actually found a place, so like a picnic table, or if you set up a blanket under a tree, you know, you've decided on a particular place and you did want to eat there. And then, you know, if your kid goes running off after a ball and you run after them, you really have to make a new bracha. It's hard to swallow that, no pun intended, but that's the that's the way it works. You know, being that, again, this is only a park without a fence, but a park without a fence, being that there's no fence, so it's an open area, but you've picked a place, so your place is limited to Dalai Lama's. The four Amas around you, is your that's your spot, and anything more than that, you've already left your place.
What if you go to get something for the meal?
Doesn't make a difference. It's the same like if you went to your car to get milk for cereal or something like that. You know, you left once you leave your house, or you leave your place, wherever that might be. That constitutes a shinui makom. However, if you did not pick a place in the park, you're just strolling and you're drinking water, a water bottle, you're walking in the park, right? So then the park is just like anywhere else, right? The fact that it's a park doesn't change anything. The exception of a park, which I guess would make it a little less strange, the halacha I just told you, is that by a park, if you are able to see the place where your picnic table is, that does help. That's an exception by a park. In a park, right, being that it's not a proper room, it's just a designated spot, so as long as you can still see the place that you made your bracha in, so then you don't lose your bracha. Right? But there could be many ways that if you walk behind a bunch of trees and you can't see it anymore, it's very literal, this halacha of seeing. You have to actually be able to see it. And if you go to any place that you're blocked, your view is blocked, then you lose your bracha. So I'll give you an example. You know, the playground in off Georgia, you know, the that they have that big playground over there. It's Tarcola Park. You know, so there's they have these huge slides and this big hill. You kids run up and down, and there are picnic tables around. So let's say you're on your picnic table, and then you hear your kid crying from the other side of that huge mound. And you go to the other side of the mound to pick him up, so now you can't see your original place anymore. You'll be required to make a new bracha. But if you were anywhere else, any other angle that you could still see, then you don't. So this is one place where seeing makes it, this is the only real place where seeing your original place makes an actual difference. Right? Because being that there's no walls and no confinement and no actual place, so therefore, as long as you can see the place, we consider it all one big place. That, but a house, it doesn't help for, like I said, because the house is a definitive place. So, to sum it up, right? So we have, I think we should classify we have as follows. We have house to street or house to house, that's one category. That's the worst type of shini makom, or the best. The, you know, where there's that you totally terminated your bracha, it doesn't help to have anything in mind, no matter what, your bracha is over. Even if you go back, even though you had in mind, even though you're middle of eating, doesn't make any difference. Room to room, and we included just about everything that could be considered a room to room, a hallway, a neighbor's apartment, a porch, a backyard, if it's gated in. All those don't require any special das. You don't have to see your original place. You aren't required to make a new bracha. That's room to room. Then the last is the concept of an open space where you're not in a room and you're not in a house. There, it depends. If you're just walking around, like you made your bracha in your car, or you're in the streets, then you have no place. Then you're not subject to the halachas of shini makom at all. If you did park yourself somewhere, again, no pun intended, on a picnic table or something like that, then it depends. If you can see your original place, then you're okay. And if you can't see your original place, and then as soon as you leave, you have to make a new bracha. Right? So there's three categories, house to house, no difference, you always make a new bracha. Room to room, you never make a new bracha. A park where you have found a specific place to sit will depend if you can see your place or not. So that's that summarizes it for this halacha. Okay. So now let's clarify whether it makes any difference what food you're eating. So okay, like we mentioned already before, it makes a difference which food you're eating, because the concept is that if you're eating bread, hamaitzi, or mezainis, you're required to go back and make a bracha achrayna in the same place where you ate the food originally. This actually is a pretty chamardiga halacha. It's in other words, if you left your house knowingly that you needed a bench, you know, and then you forgot after that. And you know, you left your house and you were planning on coming back, and then you forgot. You're required to go back, no matter what. If you forgot, then it's then there's leeway. You know, you're still supposed to go back. It's still Midas Chassidus. The Gemara says that I forgot which Tana it was that he had washed and he left his house by mistake, b'shegeg. And then it was a big tircha for him, but he decided anyway to go back. It was a loss of money, and he decided to go back to bench, to be able to bench in the original place, and he found a gold bird, a bird made out of gold. So it's considered a very chashuva, a very important inyan, to go back and bench in the place where you made the bracha originally. We'll talk about this a little later, that there are certain cases that are exempt from this. But typically, the halacha is that you do have to go back and bench in the place where you originally made the bracha. So surely, if you left on purpose, but even if you left by mistake, you should go back and bench in the same place. And being that you have to go back and bench in the same place by either a mezainis or by bread, so therefore it's considered like you never left because you still have to go back. So you haven't terminated your meal by leaving because you're not finished yet. You're still required to go back. So that's why when you're eating bread or eating mezainis, the laws of shini makom do not apply. You leave the house, you don't lose your bracha. And this applies even to all other things you're eating too. In other words, you're eating bread, right? And you're eating a lot of things. You're drinking, and you're eating a side dish, and you're eating a main dish. But you washed. Once you washed, and being that everything that you ate is included in Berachas HaMazon, so it's covered by the bread and it's covered by benching, so you don't have to make a bracha on anything when you come back. Even the drinks and etc. because you have to come back and bench, and your benching will be benching on that too. It gets a little complicated when you're having, let's say, a cake and a coffee. So there, the cake doesn't cover the coffee. The bracha on the cake, the mezainis on the cake, certainly doesn't cover the coffee, and the bracha achrayna on the cake doesn't cover the coffee. And therefore, it's a question, there's a suffix about this, whether, it's very not clear in halacha, whether in this case, does the fact that you have to come back because you need to make a alamichya, does that help for the drinking also? Because, you know, you have to come back, so leaving shouldn't have terminated your meal. Or do we say that, no, it's for the mezainis you have to come back, but for the drinking you don't have to come back. So it's not clear. That being that's the case, that's why whenever I'm in the middle of lunch and my wife comes, dries up and needs help for the laundry, with the packages, it's a real savi bracha. I always have this problem. If I'm going to go out, and I didn't wash, so it's just a mezainis. I know the mezainis, I won't have to make a new bracha, but now I'll have a suffix whether I will have to make a new bracha on the drink. So I try to drink up quickly and then go out. But that's where it's a suffix. So that's the suffix bracha is not good in this situation because nothing you can do about it. And you're not supposed to put yourself in that situation. L'chadchila, you're not supposed to put yourself in a situation where you're going to have to make a bracha, but you're not going to be able to. But certainly, if it's bread, it's not a problem. And if it's just mezainis, likewise, and it's not an issue of drinking, it's not a problem. And another. An idea, what you could do also, is if you do have to go out, like the case I just mentioned, you know, you have to go out and help someone, so you can find something that you weren't planning on eating and make a shakal on. For example, let's say you were having a cake and coffee, right? And you went out and now you came back, and now you don't know whether the coffee requires a new bracha, so you could take a candy, which you had no time to eat, you know, you had no plan on eating at all, and make a bracha on that. Because that you had it wasn't covered by your original bracha because you weren't intending on eating that. So you always have that option. Now this fact that bread requires you to bench and mezainis requires you to say a bracha achrayna, requires you to say an almichya, is of course only if you eat a kezayis. Until you eat a kezayis, you're not required to make a bracha achrayna. So if you just ate two pretzels and you went outside, then it's no different than you drank soda and you went outside. And when you come back, you're required to make a new mezainis. So the benching also, same thing with bread. Let's say you washed on bread and you ate one bite, and then you had to run outside. You don't have to wash again, but you do have to make a new hamaitzi. You don't have to wash again, but you have to make a new hamaitzi. That shini makim is considered a shini makim until you eat a kezayis. So for bread or mezainis or shivas haminim, likewise grapes, dates, wine, for them to be special, to require you to make the bracha achrayna, is of course only if you have to make the bracha achrayna. So it's limited to when you drank a shir. So by wine, it would be a revius. Pretzels, it would be a kezayis. Bread, it would be kezayis. And of course, also, it has to be, you ate it quickly enough to require yourself to make a al hamichya, right? So, for how many pretzels do you remember as a kezayis? We've been looking through the kezayis book. I don't know what it was. Let's say it was quite a bit, right? Like to say 10 or 12 pretzels. So let's say 10 or 12 pretzels is a kezayis. So you would have had to have eaten 12 pretzels within the span of 4 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes, which is that's not that much. But if you're just munching here and there, you haven't necessarily done that. And if it's a suffix, then again, you're stuck with the suffix bracha, right? Which means you ate 12 pretzels, or you're not sure how many pretzels you ate. So you might have eaten the kezayis, you might have not eaten the kezayis, and then you go outside. Now when you come back, you have a safek bracha. So if you have no other choice, so you can continue eating, because safek brachas is lahakel, you know, and we don't make a new bracha unless you're sure that you need a new bracha. But the problem is, you know, when you want to go out, and you're not sure whether you've eaten the kezayis, so you're not supposed to put yourself in that situation, so that's when it gets uncomfortable. So you can decide not to eat any more pretzels. That's obviously an option. Yeah. Okay. So which foods are included in this in this exception? Is bread, mezainis, shivas haminim, which would be grapes, dates, olives, all of the above, are all included in this halacha that it's a kfiyas suda in that place. You made a suda in that place. You're required to come back to make a bracha achrayna there, so that you don't have any shinim makim. All other foods, which anything that you make a bar nefashas on, right? Whether it's apples, oranges, drinks, rice, you know, anything like that. All other foods which do not require an al-mechia, just a bar nefashas, they are subject to the halachas of Shini Makim. This is one of the places where Svaradim have a whole different halacha. So, heads up. Anybody who has Svaradish Minhagim should contact me afterwards and I'll tell you exactly what the differences are. But this is one of the big differences between Svaradim and Ashkenazim in this area. Okay. Now, what situations are exempt from the halacha of Shini Makim? Now, there are a few cases that are exempt, four cases. Number one is if you're eating with a group of people. So if you're eating with a group of people, eating with your family, and you leave the house and come back, and they're still there, they haven't left, so then you are still, your suda is still continuing. And this is even if you're not washing, even if it's not mezainis, obviously, even if it was just, you know, you were sitting and drinking together, you were eating popcorn and playing a board game together, whatever it is, but being that you were all sitting together and you were participating in the food together, and even though you left, but they stayed, then the bracha is still valid. And that it's, this is even if everybody left and only one person stayed. As long as one person stays, then he keeps the flame going, and it's still you're still continuing that bracha. So as long as someone is still there, it helps. But obviously, this only helps if you're going back. In other words, it doesn't help if you're going somewhere else. So if you're playing a game, right, and you're everybody eating popcorn together, and you leave and you go across the street, and you want to eat across the street, it doesn't help you that everybody is still home. It only helps you if you go back there. So then you could continue the suda that you started. But once you go to a new place and you try to eat there, that's by definition going to be a new suda. It's in a new place. It's a new suda. So this, that people eating together with a bunch of people help, and that someone is still there from your original crew, that only helps if you're going back to the same place. Fine. That's one exception. Another exception that we discussed when it works is if you could see the original place of eating. So we said that certainly helps from room to room. Anyway, we don't have a problem. But the only actual place where it really works is in a park. That's when it helps you. Now, the third one is an interesting one. When you're eating something which is, you eat it continuously, like gum or a candy. So truth is, it's not something that's really discussed in halacha. I don't think they had that concept. Mm-hmm. That didn't exist until recently. Rav Moshe does have a tshuva about it, though, Rav Moshe Feinstein. And he writes that that also is exempt from Shini Makim. Because since you're continuously eating it, so they can't consider that you changed, you stopped your suda, you changed your mind. He even says that this would even apply to something like ice cream. You know, that you're constantly licking. So, in other words, it certainly applies to gum and candy that you literally have in your mouth, you know, and you're sucking it and you're walking around with it. But he says it would even apply to ice cream, provided that you're actually licking it and licking it and licking it as you walk around. If you stopped, so then it's not the same. Then it's just like anything else. Just the fact that you're holding food in your hand doesn't change anything. But if you're eating it mamish continuously, you know, you're licking and licking it, then it's the same like gum and candy, and the fact that you have it in your mouth continuously helps that it shouldn't be considered a shini makom. This is what Moshe says.
It's not like a coffee also.
A coffee that you're sipping.
Eating it in your mouth. That's sipping
it,
right? But you take breaks.
Usually you take breaks, right? Uh-huh. I wouldn't push this too far. It's a chiddush. Even the ice cream is a chiddush, yeah. So I don't know how far you can go with that.
Here, look, coffee yeah. For the car.
Right, oh, so that's a different thing. So now, this Rav Moshe also says, which is also not clear in halacha, but Rav Moshe says this too, is that if you made yourself a coffee in your house to drink in your car, which means you don't plan on drinking it in your house at all, even though you've made a bracha in your house, but you're leaving immediately, so then it's the same as if you made the bracha outside. Wow. But it's very specifically in that case, like you bought a coffee in Starbucks and you're on your way out, you know, so you started sipping it in the store, that doesn't make, you weren't planning on staying in the store. He says, though, wouldn't be the case, though, if you started, you know, you made the coffee at home, you're planning on taking it in your car, but you're also not leaving yet. You're leaving in 10 minutes. So you're having your coffee now in your house for 10 minutes while you, you know, whatever you're doing and putting your stuff together, getting your stuff ready. and then you're going to go and continue it in your car, that wouldn't apply. It's only if mamash, you made your coffee, you're on your way out. So even though you started in the house, that's just as if you started outside the house. It's limited to that case.
That's the same thing with like water, like if you're
same thing, yeah, all the same, yeah. So that again, it's only if you weren't, you didn't, you know, didn't put yourself in your house for any particular amount of time. You weren't kaveh in your house. Okay, so again, what are the four exceptions? Exception number one is, which always works by every situation, is if you're eating together with other people and at least one person is still there from the original group, and you go back. Thanks, that helps. So that always helps. Seeing the original place of eating helps. We discussed only in a park. Continuous eating like gum or candy or perhaps ice cream, that also helps. You're not subject to halachas of shenei makom. It's interesting. I was looking in Rabbi Forst's book on halachas brachas, and when he talks about this halacha, he has a footnote. And he says that everybody should know that Chazal were not very happy with people eating in the street. It's not considered. Chazal say that someone who eats in the street is likened to a dog. There could even be a halachic ramification that someone who eats in the street is not kosher to be an aid, to be a witness on a kiddushin or on a get or something like that. That's a question in halacha. It's considered to be such a base thing to do, to eat in the street, that you know it showed something very. Powerful about a person's character, to the point where the Gemara held he can't be trusted anymore. You know, that's how a low life, so to speak, he is. So, you know, I don't know exactly how far we have to take this, and to what it applies. You know, I don't know if it applies to sucking gum sucking candy or chewing gum. Maybe chewing gum by itself. Okay, that's a different discussion. but in any case, something which is, I guess, not really eating, but definitely, you know, walking around with a hamburger in the street, that's definitely something Chazal would have frowned on. So that's just a point he makes. Interesting. And likewise, the last relevant point here is that if you started with the immediate intention to leave, like coffee for the car, you prepared your coffee or you bought a coffee in Starbucks, even though you made the bracha right there in the store, that's as if you made the bracha outside and you have the halacha of someone who's outside, which means you're totally not restricted by shenei makom. Okay, let's just do the last point over here. The last point is, when is a bracha achreina required before leaving and when not? So we touched on this a little bit. So the halacha like this is as follows. So Chazal didn't want you to leave ever without making a bracha achreina, because they're very worried that you're going to forget to make a bracha achreina, which, as experience tells us, all of us, happens very often, right? A friend of mine told me once that a bar nefashis is one of those brachas you either make twice or you don't make it at all. You know? So yeah, that's an unfortunate fact. So, so Chazal were worried about this. So the halacha is essentially that if you are, no matter what you're eating, even though you're eating bread or you're eating mezainis, which won't require you to make a new bracha when you come back, and likewise you don't have by anything you don't have to make a new bracha achreina. You don't have to make you don't have to make a bracha achreina before you leave. But if you're going out for any extended period of time, you know, as you're going out, not just for a second, but you're going out to do something, then Chazal wanted you to make a bracha achreina before you leave. So, you know, a bar nefashis you don't have to make in the house. You can make it outside, but you're supposed to make it. As soon as you stop eating and you do something else for any extended period of time, you should make the bracha achreina before that. The truth is, it becomes, actually, this is not really the specific topic here, but it's relevant that, you know, any mothers in their houses, when they're there, they're home a large part of the day, and they eat, and then they are busy with doing a lot of things, and then they are sort of planning on continuing to eat. So it does become a little complicated, with Hasach Hadas, because at some point you can make a bracha, and then like an hour later, after you finish whatever it was you're doing, you know, you decide to stop eating. You know, it's subjective, every person to themselves. Personally, I think the best idea is to make the bracha achreina, so you know you're covered. In other words, if you don't have you know you're going to do something that's going to take time. You know, like you're going to do laundry or something, fold laundry. You're doing something that's going to be time-consuming. It's not that, you know, you just went out for a second and, you know, you got busy. But you're planning on doing something else, then you should make a bracha achronah before you do that. And if you make this a common practice, hopefully it'll diminish the amount of times you make the bracha achronah twice. You know, because you know that that's what you always do. That I always make the bracha achronah before I start any undertaking. So then, you know, you're covered. But let's say, you know, especially someone who works at home, right, and is constantly drinking, you know, so, you know, then you're not necessarily stopping. You're always drinking, and whenever you finish your coffee or you finish your water, you'll go and refill it. So you shouldn't make a bracha achrayna. You know, that would be, probably be a bracha netzricha, because you do plan on continuously drinking. So a good rule of thumb would be is if you know you're doing something which is going to take time, it's going to take a good 10, 20 minutes, and you're going to not be eating during that time, then you should make a bracha achrayna before that. Now, again, like I said, though, if you're only leaving momentarily, right, you know you're just going out to pick up your kid from the bus, or you know you're just going out to, you know, help someone or help someone bring in packages and things like that, so then you should dafka not make a bracha achrayna. You should specifically not make a bracha achrayna, because that would be a bracha achrayna tzricha. You're making yourself make two bracha achraynas for no reason. You know you're coming back right away. So when that the Mishnah Berurah speaks out, when you know you're coming right back right away, we weren't worried about it. Now, there is some exceptions over here. You are allowed to leave in the middle of a meal without having to bench if you're going to do a mitzvah. So let's say for a man, for example, this would be, let's say he's in the middle of a meal and he realizes, oh my gosh, it's time for mincha. Right? So he runs out to daven mincha. He does not have to bench before he leaves. And, you know, if he's really in the middle, like he's before the main course, you know, so he's planning on coming back. Excuse me. So for a mitzvah, you're always allowed to go out and come back, and you don't have to bench before you leave. And another a time that you're allowed to leave is if you're planning on eating in the second place. For example, this comes up very often when, as happens to be a mitzvah also, but you're planning on going to a dessert for someone else, like for a sheva brachas. You know, you're eating a meal at home, and then you're going to go sheva brachas to a dessert, or you're going to go, for whatever reason, to someone else's house, and you're going to continue eating over there. And as far as the halacha of benching is concerned, let's say you washed in your house and you ate bread in your house, and then you go to someone else's house, even if you just eat a little bread, you do have to eat bread to be able to bench in that person's house. You can't just eat cake, you have to eat bread, but you don't have to eat even a kezais. You could even eat a little bread, and that's enough. It's better to eat a kezais, but you don't have to. You could even eat just a little bread, and then you're allowed to bench in that person's house. So there, the way it works is like this. If it's a mitzvah, you can do that l'chatchila. And even if it's not a mitzvah, if you had it in mind originally, that was when you washed, you knew that you were going to go out and eat in someone else's house, then also you can do l'chatchila. Okay, and so to sum it up, we said as follows. L'chatchila, you should really not leave your house, unless you're leaving momentarily, you're just leaving for a short time, you should not leave your house without benching, without making a bracha achrayna. Likewise, you shouldn't engage in a time-consuming task without making a bracha achrayna before you do that thing. But if you have to leave to do a mitzvah, you're allowed to leave. And likewise, if you're planning on finishing your meal in the second place, and you had that in mind when you washed, you had it in that mind when you made the bracha to begin with, again, by only, obviously, a bracha which doesn't get affected by Shini Makam, like bread and mezainos, so then you don't have to make the bracha achrayna before you leave. You can rely and make the bracha achrayna in the place where you're going to end up being. Okay.